So get ready for that. There's going to be a spiritual shift to where there's going to be more and more people experiencing the real inward touch of God. That's what takes us to a deeper place. That's what takes us. Ran into Josh Bunton. Most of y'all know Josh Bunton. He's now the pastor of True Vine. He stepped up and become the pastor, at least for a season. And we talked. His message this morning was dig deeper. It's time to dig deeper. And I believe that as Christians, that God has so many things waiting on us that he wants to pour onto us. But as Melly has said, as Rodney has said, as God has put on my heart for this year, we have to walk in that faith. That faith again to believe that our God can beat up any problem, as Rodney said. Our God can beat up any situation. We got to believe that. Give me some more volume. I don't sound like I'm on. One, two. Can y'all hear me? Okay. All right. There. Okay, I can hear me better now. Thank you. If I can't hear me, I can't preach right. I got to hear what's coming out. 2 Chronicles. Turn to 2 Chronicles. Some of y'all may not know that book's in the Bible. But there's a 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. We want to talk about part two of breaking the power of me. We did part one this morning of breaking the power of me. We talked about what me is. Me is those desires and attitude and actions that we don't surrender to God. That's what me is. All the things we don't surrender to God. We just hang on to them, thinking we can fix it and we can do it, but we can't. And the more we become dependent on God, church, the more we will see the blessing of God on our lives. And one thing I declared over here this morning, I'm going to do it corporately probably Sunday because I want the bulk of the church to be here when I do this. But I declared over here just for my family, well, for the church too, but I want all us to do it together corporately. I declare this afternoon that there will be a new level of favor and blessing upon my life, upon my wife's life, upon my children's lives, and upon this ministry's lives this year. A new level of blessing and favor. Now, some folks don't like that because they like, James, you can, you know, don't be getting on the bargaining with God. That don't work. Well, you're working 90 hours a week to make a living trying to do it yourself. Someone before church shared with me a wonderful testimony of how God had blessed them just without even laboring. Just God just showed me favor and blessed me with something. That's how God works. That's how he wants to work. He wants to bring the blessings into our lives and the favor into our lives. But we have to be willing to trust him more than we trust ourselves. And that's hard to let go of because we're strong. We think we are. And we think we can fix it and we can change it and we can do it. But we can't. That's why Paul says that when I become weak, then I become strong. What was he saying? When I become weak in myself and realize there is no ability within me to accomplish anything, I turn to Christ. And when I turn to Christ, he takes over and does what I can't do. Glory to God. No amens on that, church. Come on. Please, spiritual shift, happen quick so I can preach. Oh, God. We, within ourselves, have to come to a point to declare there is nothing within us we can offer, but it's the power of his Spirit that gives us all things. You know, David Lee gave a great testimony a year or so ago about God kept him when he was in, was that Afghanistan? Or Afghanistan. When the I always say it wrong, IED. An IED did not detonate correctly. He's marching through a town. He hears the clicking near him, knowing what the next thing should be, and it didn't happen. It clicked, but it didn't boom. Now, people, you know, yes, there's faulty equipment, there's faulty weaponry, but I'm not giving no glory to that, neither is David Lee. He's not giving any glory to that. He's giving glory to somebody, an angel, the power of God's hand, in that moment stepped in when he had no ability or no power to protect himself. God showed up and protected him for him. That's the God that we serve, and that's the kind of faith we need again. Faith, believing in something bigger and more than us. And we have been, church, we've been indoctrinated with that, especially my kids' generation. Now, I'm 41 years old. We know when I was a kid playing sports, which I only played a couple things because I wasn't any good. I was good at backyard but not good on a team. We had a tryout for a team, and if we didn't make it, we got cut.
Now all the little boys and girls make a team, and they all get trophies. You're so good. You stink. You can't even hold the bat. You hold it upside down. Don't tell him he's doing good. Tell him he stinks. But we have been such a society of entitlement and building up of ourselves. And we call it stuff like self-worth and a good image. And we want all people to be equal and all this garbage. And so our children are growing up thinking they've achieved something when they've been given really nothing. And so, you know what? I wish it was like that again. A kid goes out and they're not good enough and not good enough. I remember Melanie went out for cheerleading one year. And she didn't make it. She was sad. And there's a whole story behind that I won't indulge tonight. She should have made it, but she didn't. Because she wasn't herself. She was trying to copy this girl that was a cheerleader, so she did all of her moves. And the cheerleading coach come told her, says, "What was you doing?" She was trying to copy someone else and not be herself. Copying somebody. She didn't make it. She got cut. We have been so built up with all of these motivational books about ourselves. Church, God does not share his glory with no one. He's a jealous God. He wants all the glory and all the credit. We didn't make ourselves. He made us. We didn't make this world. He made us. We didn't make that moon. He made that moon. We didn't create the oceans. He created the ocean. It wasn't just some random big bang thing that happened. Everything just happened to go right in place. It was a big bang, but God banged it. And God spoke it. And God did it. And he told exactly where the earth to stand and where Venus to stand and where the moon to be, where the sun to be. It is no accident we're 93 million miles away from the sun. That's no accident. That's perfect alignment of the hand of God. It is no accident that I've heard this, that through all these years, the ocean level seas have not changed. They've varied it's been almost consistent, the same sea level throughout eternity. Because God controls that. There's nothing, and we've got people trying to outsmart God, think we can do it within ourselves, and we can't. Let's get in the Word. I'm going to get through this tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. This is talking about King Uzziah. And let's see what happens with him. Verse 1. Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father. Here's a 16-year-old kid that's being raised up to be a king. Can you imagine a 16-year-old being a king? They can't drive. 16. He built, I know I'm going to pronounce all these words exactly right. He built Eloth and restored it to Judea after the king slept with his fathers. His dad had passed away. Now his son was now king. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecholiah of Jerusalem, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God. This is probably one of the key verses of this message tonight. Verse 5. He sought God in the day of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God, and as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. Why don't we prosper? Not just financially, within our marriages, within our families, within our children, within everything in life. Why don't we prosper as God's people? Because we as a society, as Rodney said, coming to church alone does not mean everything. But we must invest in God fully. Then on Monday at 2 o'clock when all hell is broke loose around you, you remind yourself of who you are in Christ. And you say, God, I don't know what to do, but I seek you for this. And I want your plan. I want your blessing. I want your answer, not mine, God, yours. That's what I want. And we seek that. And then when we seek God, he is very generous in pouring out what we need in that moment. You know, it's kind of like men get a bad rap for not asking for directions, right? I'm never lost. Manly, James, I don't know, honey. We're good. And the whole time inside, I'm thinking, I so made a wrong turn. I don't tell her for a while. We're all right. It just don't look right. We're all right. Knowing I'm lost. See, I'm a shallow man. You know, us men and women, we're just shallow. We don't have a lot to hang on to, so we want to hang on to acting like we know what we're doing for some reason. And you already know we don't half the time, but we act like we do. As long as I keep going the wrong direction and don't stop and ask, I'm going to keep going the wrong direction. And I'm not going to end up where I want to. So what do? I pull off to a gas station somewhere, make sure it's a man behind the counter. Can you tell me how to get so-and-so? Of course, I have to say, I stopped the other day. I couldn't find something. I was somewhere out of town, and I was trying to figure out where this place was. I stopped, and he said, yeah, go about a mile and a half down the road. It was 6 miles. I'm like, dude, that was bad. You're a man. You're supposed to be better than that. Come on. Mile and a half, 6 miles. So I kept going, finally saw it. But as long as I kept going the wrong way, I would have never got to where I was. Spiritually, how many times do we keep going our way, refusing to seek God? Why do we do that? Refusing to say, God, okay, it's not working my way. I want to keep seeking you for my blessings. It's not working the direction I'm going. It's not working in my decision-making. It's not working. God, my life's a mess, and I need you. The Bible says that if we call upon God, he will answer, and I believe that. Church, I'm a firm believer. I mean, it sounds so simple and elementary, but when we call on God, he answers. He doesn't turn a deaf ear to our cry. God, here I am. I need help. And he shows up, and he speaks to us, and he helps us, and he shields us, and he protects us. He redirects us. He anoints us and equips us with what we need to get through whatever season we're traveling through. That's the God I serve, because my father can beat your father up. I'm going to do a message about that sometime. You need to do a message about that sometime. Verse 6, he went forth and warred against the Philistines. He brake down the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities about Ashdod and among the Philistines. Look at verse 7. And God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians and dwelt in Gerbal and the Mehum something. And the Ammonites gave gifts to Uzziah, and his name spread even to the entering in of Egypt, for he strengthened himself exceedingly. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, at the turning of the wall, and fortified them. And he built towers in the desert. He digged many wells, for he had much cattle, both in the low country and the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. This was soil. He loved things with the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had a host of fighting men that went about to war by bands according to the number of their account by the hand of Jeel, the scribe, and that ruler, under the hand of Hananiah, one of the king's captains. Now look, the whole number of the chief of the fathers of the mighty men of valor were 2,600. And upon their hand was an army 300,007. So over 300,000 men he had in this army that made war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields, spears, helmets, habergons, that was body armor, and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines. Did y'all know that was in the Bible, the word engine? Isn't that interesting? He made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men. These were smart engineers that had put together these motorized things to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. These were catapults, what they were really. Catapult devices used to shoot out rocks. Now, here's where it all goes down. He's doing good. Before we get to verse 16, he's doing good. He's depending on God. He's trusting God. And God is blessing. God's increased his army, his weaponry. He's safe. He's took cities over. He's destroyed enemies. His name is spread. Man, things are good. God's on his side. God is blessing him. But something happens in verse 16 that's so quick to happen to us if we're not careful. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. And notice how it's worded here. His heart was lifted up to his destruction. The destruction came because his heart was lifted up. Remember, we read this morning out of Proverbs that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So here we read it. His heart got lifted up. Now, he did something we'll read about in a minute. But his heart began to become more powerful than he began to be about self and think he was worth more than what he was because of the blessing of God. So here's what he did. He broke a pretty bad law. Verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. 80 people went after him. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. And that's a whole message right there. Aren't you thankful now we can go in the Holy Holies? We're not trespassing no more because of the blood. But this time, he was trespassing. He wasn't a priest. It was against the law for him to go and offer incense. Who cares he was a king? He wasn't a priest. He violated a very strict ordinance of God that he thought he was so something. He thought the sun revolved around. Y'all know people like that, right? The sun revolves around them. I walked into a room. Hello? People like that. I mean, they walked in a room and people just back. Oh, my God. Oh, so, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. The sun revolved. He got so lifted up with pride that he thought he could go and offer incense on the altar that was reserved for the high priest. Boy, that's pretty arrogant. And he was trespassing. He had violated something. He was doing good. God's blessing. God's raising people up. God's raising him up. Things are great until he does this. Pride, church. That's why we got to break the power of us. Break the power of me. That's why I'm always encouraging the church. Look, don't hold grudges. I don't care if you're stubborn because your father was stubborn, your grandfather was stubborn. I don't care if you got 4 donkeys in a backyard stubborn. It don't matter. We as Christians can't walk that way. We need not to let pride ever stand in the way of going to someone and saying, I'm sorry. I am sorry. And I was wrong. And I ask forgiveness. Boy, that goes a long way in healing, doesn't it? Such a long way in healing. But we allow pride to get in, and it's about me being right and you being wrong. That's all we see. Instead of saying, my Lord Jesus forgave me, I should forgive all people because he forgave me. Pride is something that has taken man down many wrong roads. Pride has taken many men of God down wrong roads. Pride has taken many athletes and Hollywood stars down the wrong road, thinking they've arrived and they're like idols walking the streets. Because man treats them that way. And they take advantage of that. But when we are lifted up with pride and we fail to recognize. I try to use the example of my children sometimes, because especially my son, we'll talk about things and he'll have something. I say, God made that. And I can always trace it right back to God every time, no matter what it is. I'll say, God made that iPhone. No, he didn't. Daddy man did. Who made man? God. Oh. You can trace back to God on everything. Everything. I'll say, man, God bless this with my Jeep. Man, God bless me. God didn't do nothing about Jeep. Yeah, he did. He blessed me. It wasn't God. Yeah, it was God. I got a job. I got money. I'm able to pay for it. Who does that? Well, you work. Who lets me work? Well, you do it. No, who keeps me healthy to work? How can I be healthy enough to work? How can I preach? How can I show up? I'm alive. Then I go all the way back. I'm alive. Who keeps me alive? Well, you exercise. How can I exercise? Because I'm alive. Who keeps me alive? You can always trace it back to God on everything. I challenge you, trace it. Don't let people say that God ain't in it. God is in it. Those chairs you're sitting in is because of God. Because man made them. Who made man? God. It always goes back. I told this joke before. You've been with me a long time. You've heard this, but a lot of new ones haven't. This scientist goes up to this man of God and says, we are so smart now that we can create human life on our own. We don't need God no more. We can do it ourselves because we got all the things in place. He says, sure, go ahead. See if you can do it. He don't get past base one. The scientist scoops up a bunch of dirt in the ground and says, okay, I'm going to start. He says, who made that dirt? He couldn't go no further. It could all be traced back to God. And I love that. God is just that big that we can't discredit him, but we think that it's our blessing and it's our favor. You know, and we think that because we got a good boss, and we got some bosses in here. I guess I'm a boss, sort of, to my mom. It's kind of nice. I'm the boss of my mother. But anyway, we got some bosses in here. And no matter how good your boss is, if Courtney decides to bless Don and say, you know what, brother, I just want to bless you. Don can say, thank you, Courtney. Don't take no offense to this, Courtney. I'm telling you like it is. He blessed. Thank you. Thank you, Courtney. Thank you for blessing me. Then he ought to be on his knees saying, God, thank you for putting that desire in Courtney's heart to bless me. Though we're the blessers as human flesh, God is the one that caused the blessing to come through human flesh. The moment we begin to discredit and take credit for something outside of God, then we're in a very dangerous place. And it's easy to get wrapped up in all that achievement and success because we've heard it pushed our whole lives. Now, I'm not talking about, there's people that will just say it to be saying, you know, every football player, what do they say? Give God glory. Whatever, he's been trained to say that. I mean, some are real, but you know what I'm saying. It becomes just a thing, you know. The first thing they do is thank mama. I want to thank my mama. Wouldn't be here without my mama. I give God the glory. Hallelujah. Let's go get drunk and party. I mean, really? Wow. Everything goes back to the Lord. Everything. And it drives, you know, man's even got a name for nature, doesn't it? Mother Nature. And they worship, some people worship Mother Nature. You know, the Indians had no idea, really, that they were worshiping the true God. Really. We worship the sun god and the moon god and the wind god. They were all the same one. Who made the sun? Who made the moon? Who made the wind? It can all be pointed back to that. But we call it now Mother Nature. Meteorologists say, boy, Mother Nature's been bad today. Mother Nature. Mother Nature. Tornadoes, hurricanes, snowstorms, blizzards, you know, all of it can't be done unless the hand of God allows that to be done. It all goes back to him. I mean, space, the depths of the ocean, all the creation of all that comes from something. We got people now that have, you know, they're transmating, that's not the right word. They're putting together different animals to create different animals. You know what I'm saying? Like they'll do a tiger with a lion and call it a tigress or lioness or ligress or liger, a liger. They think they've done something so wonderful. But where'd the lion come from? Where'd the original come from? It's easy to duplicate, but we can't do it originally. There'll never be an original creator but God. In anything, there'll never be original creator. The great mind of Google and the great mind of Facebook that created these networks and these mediums, that's they're billionaires now. It came here. Who made that? God. God created that brain. And I read, I think, Sam, you had this on Facebook, something about the, was it you that had that, the brain holds five times more than it? No, it wouldn't be you. I was playing. The brain holds five times more than the Britannica, the Encyclopedia Britannica. Or what is that called? Yeah. These young people don't even know what that is. Britannica Encyclopedias. Right. They said the human brain can hold it to five times more than that. That's how complex our brain is. It's just we don't allow God to come in and really use it for us. We get so wrapped up in doing it our way, we don't let the Holy Spirit bring knowledge and wisdom that can be used for good. So, Let's get back to Scripture, see what happens to him. All right, so he's burning incense in verse 18. Let's finish reading 18. They withstood Uzziah the king. They said to him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed, neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord God. Then Uzziah the king was mad. He had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth, which means mad, with the priest, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. Leprosy struck him right then. Whew. Thank God for grace, right? Thank God for grace. This was a serious violation. That leprosy, this disease, immediately struck this favored king who was walking in such a position of honor and glory because, we read in verse 5, he sought the Lord. But the moment his heart got lifted, it became about him and not him. Leprosy came upon this king right before their eyes. Can you imagine being there as a priest and seeing it appear right in front of your eye? Boom. Now, we know leprosy was a very bad thing in that day. It was considered unclean. You couldn't associate in the regular congregation. You couldn't be around regular people. You were isolated and treated like a leper. You were treated that way. So let's see what happens to him. So it appeared right before him, verse 20. And Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted also to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a separate house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Here's this king who had all the blessings of God, but allowed him to get in the way, himself, and try to usurp authority in a place he didn't have. The leprosy hit him, attacked him, and for the rest of his days, he was a leper. Until he died. And he got cast out of the kingdom, living separately. His son began to run the day-to-day operations. He had lost all honor, all credibility, all of his testimony. He ended as a leper. Started with the favor of God and ended as a leper because his heart got lifted. I want to see in our body here this year such a heart for God that we get us out of the way and we allow God to be the way. And we don't stifle God. We don't tie his hands. We don't say, God, you can't do that, or I don't really believe that. We have to come back to a point, as Melanie said while opening up, that God is still the same. There's nowhere, as Roddy said, in the Bible that says that ended. There's nowhere that says God can't still shut the mouth of your lions, that God can't still bring you out of a fiery furnace. There's nowhere that says that ended, but people have so watered it down because, I want to tell you why people have watered it down, because a lot of people don't understand it. And what we don't understand, we don't teach. We avoid. And I'm the same way as a pastor. There's things in the Bible that I don't preach and teach because I don't feel like I have the revelation to bring it. So I don't try to. I don't try to confuse everybody by giving a piece here and, well, I think that's right. So I try to stay true to where God's got me preaching the message. I'm not one that says I have all the answers. I would be terrible on them call-in shows. Christian shows, they call in with the question, hey, Brother Lewis, the Lord talks about the 10-headed dragon and stuff. Now, what does that really mean? Because all I would say is, well, it means you better be right, brother. Get born again. Get the blood on you. You won't have to worry about no 10 horns. Well, what do you think it represents? Well, it represents a lot of bad things, brother. It's not good. So I just get saved. I mean, I ain't going to pretend, but a lot of people have all those answers. I don't have them. I've got simple answers. I know who Christ is. I know what he did for me. I know what grace is. I know grace doesn't run out. It never fails. It never leaves me. It never runs out on me. I know that. I know the only way to eternal life is through the cross of Jesus. That I know. I know that I can merit my salvation none or maintain my salvation none. I know it's the blood of Christ that saved me, that sealed me, that keeps me forevermore. That I know, church. So I'd be terrible at one of them talk shows. I just wouldn't have all the answers. I'd be like, John, why don't you take that one? I'd be passing all my questions off. Because I'm just not that smart. And I can admit that. But we have a lot of people that think they have the answers. I heard this call-in preacher. I try not to do things unless it's something I feel like the church needs to know. But this was a preacher on one of the local channels. And he's got a call-in show. Now, this so infuriated me. He's answering all these questions. And some stuff he's answering. Once again, we can agree on some things people say. And they completely dismiss other things they say. And I know y'all do that with me, too. I understand that. Because I don't know all the answers. This guy calls in. He says, Brother so-and-so says, because the guy was saying that if you're not baptized in water, that you die and go to hell, even if you've been saved. So that really got my attention. I'm like, So this guy calls in and says, Brother Swagger? So I go to so-and-so Baptist church. I wasn't Swagger. I was listening to him the other day. It wasn't Swagger. I promise you it wasn't Swagger. It was it was a local guy here on Channel 14, one of these local. And this guy called in and said, Brother? I go to a Baptist church, and you're telling me if a guy comes to the church and gives his heart to Jesus, goes home and dies in a wreck before he's baptized in water, he goes to hell. And I tell you, honest truth, I couldn't believe it. He says, yes, I absolutely believe without water baptism, it's not the finished work. Now, we're for that. We understand that baptism is a very important part of the process. But that's a dangerous doctrine to teach someone. I mean, really? Maybe there's a water shortage. Maybe it's January. Maybe the creek's froze up. I mean, really? A guy gives his heart to Jesus, and this is the kind of teaching that people are hearing. How dangerous is that? Our salvation is in the power of the cross, period. It's in the blood of the Lamb that we couldn't do. We couldn't fulfill that law or walk that path, but Jesus did. He walked that path for us. He gave his life for us. There is no other sacrifice needed but the one that happened 2,000 years ago. That was enough for the mankind to have salvation forevermore. That's the message of the gospel. And so we hear these things. So I don't teach things. Now apparently he really believes this. He really believes that. You could tell this poor old Baptist guy, it's like a little country guy, it's a local channel here, He made a brother, really talking kind of, hillbillyish. I bet that poor brother got off the phone and was like, my God. Lord, and see what happens? The enemy starts planting seeds then. Well, is he right? Wow. And then we begin to get caught up, as the Bible says, in all those winds of doctrines and sleight of men. We've got to be careful of that. We better stay in the Word of God and know what God says. Because we all know, we know the story of the thief on the cross. I mean, he wasn't baptized. He's dying. Lord, you remember me. I'll remember you when I come to my kingdom. Yes. So we have to understand what the Word of God says. But I am excited. I believe God's going to give all of us in here a new level of faith in 2013 to walk in deeper things, to get renewed in our faith, to get restored in our faith, to once again walk like we used to walk with our chest out in God, thinking, man, my God can do anything. I mean, I believe when I lay my hands on something, it's going to change. And now we're like this, like a hot stove. Do I touch it? Do I try to do it? Do I feel the mojo tonight? Have I got the stuff? Have I got the touch? Do I have it tonight? Yes, instead of understanding that you are a child of God, a temple of the Holy Ghost, that wherever you go, he goes with you. At any moment, any season, you have the authority in Christ and the anointing in Christ to lay your hands on whoever, where you're at, and pray. The drums ain't got to be beating, the organ ain't got to be going for you to lay your hands on something and claim the power of Jesus. That's what we need to walk in again. Just dip it, as Barney Fife says, nip it. Nip it in the bud. It's time we start nipping stuff in the bud. Because if we don't nip the bud, it turns into a flower. And if it turns into a flower, some of us are allergic. We sneeze the rest of our lives. Nip the bud so it don't grow into something bigger. We have that authority. We need to return again to that faith and break the power of me. I don't want to bust nobody's bubble tonight. Actually, I do want to bust your bubble, including mine. Starting tomorrow, wake up with this mentality. The world doesn't revolve around me. It could be hard for some of you, I know. The world don't revolve around me. It revolves around Him. And when we get our eyes off us and on to Him, we will see Him more clearly and hear Him more clearly and have clear direction for our lives and more intimate fellowship. Because we're out of the way. You know, that's a big part of fasting. You know, as Christians, you know, we talk about fasting in the Bible. And the part of fasting that's so powerful is that it's not moving God on your behalf, but it's allowing you to see God more clearly. Because you're in a place that you're more focused and you're putting more attention on Him and less at Golden Corral. It's hard to eat fried chicken and yeast rolls and banana pudding. Oh, Jesus. I pray. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Speak to me, Lord, right now. I need a revelation because there's Brother Bob just walked in. And God, give me a word, Lord. Give me a word. Hang on a minute, Lord. Let me put my chicken down. Okay, give me a word, Jesus. Give me a word for Brother Bob. But see, what happens when we're in a state of fasting or just any kind of sacrificial time, maybe it's time from TV or time for something you do regularly, whatever it is, and you're in that zone, you're in that moment, it's not that God is all of a sudden doing something different. It's that you are in a place of hearing more clearly. You don't have those distractions. You know, distractions are, I've preached on that many times, the power of distractions, how that takes our focus off God. So how do we build our faith up? We hear the Word of God, what the Bible says, right? Faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So it's important that we start this new year out in the house of God, coming, hearing the Word, being a part of what He's doing and what He's speaking, being a part of serving, part of giving, a part of supporting, a part of loving, a part of praying. All that's important for the body this year. And I believe God will do something special. I feel a spiritual shift happening this year to where, and I want to encourage the ones that have experienced what I talked about this morning, the real experience of the overwhelming anointing of God, you felt it overflow you. It's not just a feeling of, that was a good service or that felt pretty good. I'm talking about when you know you've been like hammered by the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to walk in that yourself this year and continue to have a year-long experience in that and to help someone else or to invest that in someone else. Or maybe God puts your heart to pray for someone. Be bold enough to say, God, put you in my heart to have a supernatural encounter this year. I want to pray that anointing comes upon you this year. Because when you walk in that realm, you're different than you were before. It just does something on the inside. It's not about just an outward feel good. It's an inward something changes, something in your inside. There's a deeper walk. There's a more powerful presence. Something changes. And, man, that experience is wonderful. Nothing like feeling the presence of God. I mean, feeling it to the point that you don't care about anything around. It's you and it's God. I feel that returning to church again, the true experience of a powerful God. Because so many of us as Christians live our walk like we're serving a dead God. We're not serving a dead God. We're serving a live God. He's living. Living inside of me, as the song says. My God's not dead. He's surely alive, living on the inside. Roaring like a lion. God's not dead. Surely alive. Pull that up, Melanie. We'll do it in our closing service. We'll do that during the offering. Our God's alive. He probably can do it. What's it called? Okay, God's not dead. Just get that ready for our benediction. Send you out of here roaring like a lion, remembering God's not dead. Y'all are so beautiful. Y'all take up a whole, look at this. Y'all take up more in a row because she's sharing a seat, ain't she? That's so sweet. Look at that. From one end to the other. Grandma, grandkids, son-in-law. That's awesome. We want to recognize someone here tonight. This is Christian's like a lifelong friend. Used to be our neighbor, nicknamed Peanut. You're welcome. She has moved from Winston-Salem back here to Statesville, so she's back home. And we are so glad she joined us tonight. And she's going to be going to school with you, Christian. That's right. Going to Mitchell, so they should be seeing each other. The friendship has been kind of rekindled. Well, yeah, she's still here in town, so. But her name is Ashley. So it's not Peanut. It's actually Ashley. But I remember as the little girls, them on the trampoline, singing that song. Yeah, Independence Day. By, who was that by? Carrie Underwood. They would be out there screaming their heads off. Independent. I don't remember how it goes, but whatever. But they'd be out there jumping out, just singing that song so loud. That's back when we had the boombox hooked up, right? The cord and stuff. Yeah, had a big boombox, big extension cord out the window. They'd have that Independence Day blaring. So a lot of good memories. Ashley, we're so glad to have you with us tonight, and glad you're back in town. That is so funny. Thank God they didn't get hurt. I'd have been sued. Oh, man. Go ahead and turn the TV back on, too. If I can get a couple ushers tonight, we'll receive our Sunday night offering tonight. Two ushers should be enough tonight. Thank you, David. Tony, help us out. Father, we ask your blessing on this offering. It is you that gives us seed to sow. It is you that gives the increase. We thank you, Lord, for the principle that you've given us, that as we sow into your kingdom, you will bless out of your kingdom, not man's kingdom. God, the blessings I want out of your kingdom, that's the ones that are without sorrow, as your word says. They're the ones that add joy and bring no sorrow. Bless this offering and bless this seed and use it for your glory, that the needs of this ministry and local body are met. Let us not become proud, Lord, as the blessings begin to come upon our lives. Let us not take credit for one thing that's done, but let all glory, God, all glory be given back unto you, the one that gave us life. We thank you and we praise you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. This is a song. Good song.